I would like to start the proceedings. We've already had a slightly longer coffee break than planned, and we have much work to do. So, we will pick up our work with the Codex Committee on Methods of Analysis and Sampling. There are three items for consideration by that committee. Secretariat, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First item is on analytical terminology. You have two numbers in the column because it was initiated as a revision of the terminology in the procedural manual. And later, the committee agreed that it would be better to have an independent guidelines on analytical terminology as part of Codex Alimentarius. So that was only a change in the status, and now the deadline is complied with because it's sent to step 8. It will replace the section in the manual, which would be deleted. So instead of the section in the manual, you will have guidelines on analytical terminology, which would be similar to glossary for veterinary drugs terminology, for example. And there is a consequential amendment, which will appear under the amendments to the manual, only on terminology. On the second text is the guidelines for settling disputes on analytical results. It was initiated in 2003. There was some delay due mainly to the complexity of the issue, to a lot of comments, and the need to take into account measurement uncertainty, so that was rather technical and complex discussion. Now the guidelines have been finalized, and they were really discussed extensively. And the last one is the ongoing work on endorsement of methods, either in draft standards or update of existing standards. So that's there's nothing special because it's ongoing. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Secretariat. Are there any comments on these three documents from this membership? Member from Asia, please.
Do I have to start from the beginning? Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. My comment is on the first item, draft guidelines on analytical terminology. There is standing text at the moment included in the procedure manual, applicable within Codex only. It's really good to have uniform or harmonized terminology within the analysis of food concerning safety or quality. So we'd like to have this adopted as soon as possible.
Thank you. Member, are there any other comments? I see no flags. Let's move on then to, and we will note the recommendation by this committee to adopt these three documents to the commission. And the next committee texts are from the Committee on Nutrition and Foods for Special Dietary Uses. Secretariat, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As you can see from the table, the work, the first item on the guidelines for use of nutrition and health claims, the table of condition, dietary fiber was initiated when the guidelines were initiated in 1995. That was the last part of the table which was discussed for quite a long time due to the difficulties on the definition of fiber, of methodology issues, problems with the need for scientific advice. So as you can see, there was an FAO WHO scientific update in 2006. There were extensive discussions in the committee. There are also different countries have different approaches, have made also different studies also from the scientific point of view. So it was really extensively discussed for many sessions, and that was finalized in 2009. What is still under consideration are the methods of analysis. There was earlier method of analysis which corresponded to previous definition, but now the definition will be included in the table of condition for in the guidelines for nutrition and health claims. There is also a consequential amendment to the definition of fiber, which was also included in the guidelines on nutrition labeling to ensure consistency. So that's for adoption of step 8, and the methods of analysis are still under discussion in the committee.
That's for the first item. The second one on Gamarabic, it was part of the standard, which was part of the advisory list, which was adopted earlier. And this was only for additives, and that was endorsed by the Committee on Food Additives. The third one is the nutritional risk analysis principles, which is for use in the committee, so it will be part of the procedural manual, and that was considered by the Committee on General Principles, and it was endorsed. It's also listed in the document with the procedural manual amendments, because it will be part of the section on risk analysis. That's all for the Nutrition Committee. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Secretariat. Are there any comments on these documents? Member from Asia, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Concerning this fiber issue, it's been a long-standing problem. Discussion goes back and forth all the time, so it's good, although it may be some compromise conclusion, but still it's better to come to a conclusion. I don't have some don't have any specific comments, but I have a question. According to the explanation by the Secretariat, there is no method of analysis to meet the definition of fiber. So how this fiber definition can be enforced or used or written in the labeling? And also another question is, if the method is not available or the methods available do not meet the definition of fiber, is there any possibility to revisit the definition?
Thank you, Member from Asia. You have really raised a technical question that we really can't take up. But I'm sorry, Member from Asia?
Maybe the way I put it was not really correct. I'm asking about the procedure. So if there is a new method available which does not meet the definition of fiber, so is there any possibility procedurally to revisit the definition? That's the question.
New member from Asia, I'd like to ask the Secretary for clarification.
Madam Chair, we'd like to ask Dr. Mascalunas to reply because he's really the expert on this issue.
Certainly. Dr. Mascalunas.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. Yes, situation, it's like member of Asia described. There was very long discussion on the fiber definition before we got a method, but we haven't got definition. Now we got a definition which is quite wide, very big range, and there is no single method covering this definition, but there is a range of methods which will suit this definition, and the Codex Committee on Nutrition and Foods for Special Dietary Uses working currently on all methods which satisfy this definition. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretariat. Not quite a procedural question, but let's try to restrict our comments to these four major points. Member from Latin America and the Caribbean, please.
Gracias, señora presidenta. Nosotros no tenemos planteo sobre este tema, pero quisiéramos llamar la atención porque lo que plantea el miembro de AFSIA es exactamente lo mismo que nosotros planteamos respecto al código de ética y que tiene que ver con la aplicación de los documentos de Codex. Porque de lo contrario, el Codex hace cosas que después no se pueden aplicar debidamente. Entonces, realmente que quisiéramos que constaran en actas aquellas observaciones que se hacen que tienen que ver con la aplicación de documentos que son tanto técnicos como legales. Eso es lo que pedimos, que consten actas, en nuestro caso el código de ética, y creemos que lo planteado por Asia también. Gracias.
Thank you, member from Latin America and the Caribbean. I am sure these points will be raised in the commission discussion. And that is their proper venue. I welcome you to make those comments at that point. Are there any other comments on these documents? I see no flags. Then let's move on. If I'm correct, the next documents for our consideration are from the Codex Committee on Processed Fruits and Vegetables. Secretariat, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As you see, there are several standards, which are two at step 8 and two at step 5 and 8. So some of them were initiated some time ago because it started in 1998. So there were various revisions, comments. Also, the Committee on Processed Fruits and Vegetables meets every 2 years. And there were also the, as explained, we have several notes also from the chair and also from the secretary to explain the situation, especially standard for canned vegetables will replace quite a number of existing standards, which are for individual commodities. The same in the case of jam, jellies, and marmalades. So as regards endorsement, methods of analysis were all endorsed. The sampling plans were not endorsed because there were some questions still from the committee on methods of analysis and sampling, some clarification, but that can be added later, and that should not, of course, prevent the adoption of the standards that can be added later on. And the other provisions were also endorsed earlier, like labeling and additives. We have a special issue concerning contaminants because the standard which are proposed for adoption will replace a number of individual standards which have individual provisions for contaminants which are also listed in the general standard for contaminants. Now that these standards will be revoked, the question which might be considered by the Commission or for referral to the either to the Committee on Processed Fruit and Vegetables or to the Committee on Contaminants is whether these should be retained, the provisions for contaminants of individual standards should be retained or not in the general standard for contaminants, retained or revised or whatever is needed to be done, as the standard itself will be revoked. So that was the question we had on contaminants. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Secretariat. Are there any comments on this document, these latter points, rather technical ones, perhaps best for discussion at the Commission? Member for Asia.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We do not have any objection to recommending adoption of these standards. In relation to the explanation of the Codex Secretariat concerning contaminant provisions, for instance, in the case of tin, the Codex Committee, currently called on contaminants in foods, recommended maximum levels for tin in canned foods, but one for liquid and the other for solid. And as you can see, these items inside, in the table, some of them are the mixture of liquid and solid. So perhaps, if I may, the Executive Committee should request or suggest CCCF to look at appropriateness of applying these levels to the canned products, which is a mixture of liquid and solid, or else other maximum levels should be recommended because these two levels are different. So, you know, whether you apply higher level or lower level, it may affect trade. So perhaps it's the way, because it's so technical, neither the Commission or the Executive Committee can solve the problem. So it's better to ask the consideration of the applicability or preparing new standard for tin in canned products.
Thank you, member from Asia. If this committee can agree, then we can record that observation. This is the kind of technical, it's a recognition of a technical inconsistency. Really, neither this committee nor the commission is the body to be making technical changes or to have technical discussions. Most of the people who are present at these meetings are not technically qualified. I can see where an observation of a technical inconsistency can be pointed out, and I think we can do that. But this should, that kind of observation should certainly be the rare event, not the rule. But thank you, member from Asia. Are there any other comments on these items? I see no flags. Thank you for that brief break. The next drafts we will consider are from the Codex Committee on Pesticide Residues. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. All of these are ongoing. These are draft and revised draft MRLs, whether new or revised, so it's ongoing. It's based on the evaluation from JMPR, and as you can note, if you look also at the as a report of the committee, there are now each year, each session, there are more and more MRL at step 5 and 8, because the committee agreed on a policy that whenever possible and when there is no issues of food safety, then it should the MRL should be in general sent to step 5 and 8. So there are more and more of these MRLs now which are going to step 5 and 8. And also there are some of them at step 5, and this is all in the ongoing process. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Secretary. Are there any comments on these draft MRLs and revised draft MRLs before the committee? I see no flags. Let's move then to the Committee on Residues of Veterinary Drugs and Foods. Secretary, please. I'm sorry, there is a comment.
Yeah.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson, and sorry, just very small minor comment. We noticed that an entry for spirotetram for palm fruits is missing in the appendix submitted for adoption. And most probably somebody will come during the meeting in place. It's just a simple omission, so probably we should insert, just to make aware executive committee of that.
Thank you, Secretary. Now let's move to the Committee on Residues of Veterinary Drugs and Foods. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As in the case of pesticide residues, some of them are MRL. The first one on the list is a step 8, and the second step 5 and 8. Of course, we did not put anything in the critical review because we have to follow the criteria of the critical review. We are aware that there are different views, but that will be for the Commission on the first MRL proposed, and on the second one, which is sent to step 5 and 8, so that's also moving rapidly in that committee, there are no specific problems. As regards the third item, which is on the guidelines for the design and implementation, this was initiated in 2002, and now it was completed, and it will entail the revocation of two other texts, because that will be that will supersede these two texts, which are also mentioned under revocation, so that was taken into account. And this text will be, there will be a single text which will refer to the implementation of food safety programs with veterinary drugs. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Secretary. Are there any comments from any member on these draft documents. I see the flag from FAO. FAO, please.
Gracias, señora presidenta. Solo para informar que los estudios sobre acetato melengestrol fueron realizados por la sesión, la 70 sesión, the 70th session of JECFA. I want to change to the English. That was implemented in October 2008, and then JECFA considered completed the work on that matter.
Thank you, FAO. Is that the end of your statement?
Yes.
Okay. Then you might wish to turn off your microphone.
Sorry, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Are there any comments beyond those by FAO on these three sets of MRLs? I see no flags. Let's move now to part two of our consideration, which concerns draft standards and related text. That's step five. We begin with the FAO-WHO Coordinating Committee for Asia. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This was initiated in 2007 with the target year of 2011, so now it's going to step five. Of course, at step five, endorsement is not so critical, but that's to inform the executive committee that the provision on method of analysis and sampling and on labeling have been endorsed. And also the chair comments. So that, as regards endorsement, there is no problem. Just to note that in the committee there was some discussion on the products covered by the standard, but also on the name used. But this is some discussion more for the committee itself. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Secretary. Are there any comments from the members of this executive committee? I see no flags. Let's move next to the Codex Committee on Fats and Oils. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As you can see, there's a code of practice for the storage and transport of fats and oils. This code was adopted in 1999, but there are still some work ongoing on the criteria for the acceptability of substances in the list of acceptable previous cargoes. There are two issues, but for the moment, for the present commission, what is sent for adoption as step five are the criteria to assess the acceptability of substances. It was based, we would like to recall that it was based on the advice provided by FAO and WHO at this technical meeting mentioned in the column on scientific advice, and that's now for, there was substantial discussion. It was discussed in 2007 and 2009 in the Committee on Fats and Oils, and the lists themselves are at different steps, and they are still under discussion in the Committee on Fats and Oils. That's for the first item. As regards the second item, it's an amendment to the standard for named vegetable oil that was initiated in 2007, and although the deadline, the timetable was 2009, there are no specific problems, but the committee agreed that it should be at this stage only at step five, and there was some need from some countries to look at it a little more in detail, so we expect that it would be finalized at the next session in 2011, so that's a small delay, but it should not be very critical. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Secretary. Are there any comments from this committee on these documents? I see no flags. Let's move now to documents from the Codex Committee on Pesticide Residues. Secretariat, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As we mentioned earlier, the draft MRLs are ongoing. There are some of them at step five. And the second item is on the classification. This is very comprehensive work. As you see, the timetable is 2012. Initially, limited review was initiated, and then a more extensive review. And now already some commodity groups. This is now moving in with several commodity groups which have been considered and revised. This is quite a comprehensive work, and now the first substantial part of this work is moving to step five. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Secretary. Any comments from the committee on this document, these MRLs? I see no flags. The next and, I believe, last set of issues for us to consider for documents in this category are from the Committee on Residues of Veterinary Drugs and Foods, and I ask the Secretary, please, to comment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As in previous cases, there is not much to say on these. These are ongoing. They're following the normal process, going first to step five and are based on the JECFA evaluation. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary. Are there any comments from the committee? I see none, and as for the previous decisions, we will note the recommendation by the Executive Committee that according to the grounds of our evaluation, these can be recommended to the Commission for adoption. Thank you very much. We will now move to the next item on our agenda, which concerns another aspect of our critical review. And that is the one that we normally carry out during January, a January meeting. It is a very important process for us. Very important process. And that is the function of this committee to monitor carefully and thoughtfully the progress of standards in development in codex committees. I direct the attention of this committee to the agreements that this body, the Executive Committee, has made in June 2006 on the criteria to be applied when considering whether standards are moving through the development process adequately or not. And there are three major bullets. Does everyone have them? They are, when progress on a standard is delayed due to the need for scientific advice, the Executive Committee could encourage FAO and WHO to schedule an expert consultation to provide such advice in a timely manner and recommend suspension of work until such time as scientific advice became available. So one matter may be the need for scientific advice that is not available in a timely fashion. The second point concerns the situation when scientific advice has been provided and a standard has been under consideration for more than 5 years. The Executive Committee then should seriously consider urging the committee concerned to take action within a specified time frame. And then finally, when an item has been considered for several sessions of a committee without any progress, and there is no evident prospect of reaching consensus, the Executive Committee could propose suspension of work at a particular step in the elaboration procedure for a specified period of time, or the Executive Committee could suggest discontinuation of work by the committee on that agenda item, or some other corrective action to be taken that would achieve or facilitate progress before fully taking into consideration the information provided by the subsidiary body itself. So we want to be informed by the subsidiary body on the status of documents that are moving through their elaboration procedure, but it is our responsibility when considering that information to ensure that work continues to move through our process, because as several speakers said this morning, our job in the Codex Commission and our job in this Executive Committee, as the important advisor to the Commission, is to ensure that the Commission does its work effectively and efficiently. That means quickly as possible, and also that we not continue to spend time year after year after year after year discussing items that simply are not moving. We can't afford that. We have important work to do. We must spend our energies on work that important work that is moving forward. We can't afford to continue to talk. We can't afford to get into paralysis by analysis. We have to move on. And it is the job of this executive committee to make those judgments and make those recommendations. So, with those guiding principles in mind, let's turn to, I believe, the appropriate text is CX exec 09/62/3. And we begin with consideration of several texts in the Committee on Food Additives. Is the Secretary prepared to give some background? Secretary, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First item on food additives. As you can see, several of the items are ongoing, such as additives provisions, revision, amendment to the international numbering system, and specifications for identity and purity. All of these based, of course, on the JECFA work. In addition, the first item is new. It was initiated in 2008 with the year of target year of 2011, and there are principles for substances used at processing aid. There have been several discussions, this was considered for quite a long time, several years before initiating this specific new work, in the sense that it is new, but it's an issue that has been discussed quite regularly, and now the committee is working on these principles. We also have the comments from the chair of the committee with explaining priorities of the committee in its overall framework, and also that these guidelines for processing aids are now at step two, three. They were sent back for redrafting, but they expected to make progress and to complete the work in time. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Secretary. Are there any observations any member of this committee would like to make on these documents, which do seem to be progressing? I see no flags. Let's turn next then to the Committee on Contaminants in Foods. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There is this maximum level for total aflatoxins in Brazil nuts. That was initiated in 2008, and this is based on the evaluation from the 68th JECFA. So there was a first discussion at the last session of the Committee on Contaminants, and especially based on the impact of the hypothetical limits of aflatoxins in tree nuts, including Brazil nuts, on dietary intake. And there were some proposals which were discussed in the committee in 2009, and this was sent back for redrafting. So the progress is following the normal line, and also would like to recall that it looks like there is only one item on the agenda of the Committee on Contaminants, but it is not the case, because you have some of them at step five, and you also have several items of new work, which will be, that was just to give the clarification. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary. Are there any comments on this item, which does appear to be moving along? I see no flags. Let's turn next then to the Codex Committee on Fats and Oils, which has some work on the books that began 10 years ago. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I'm very pleased to give as much clarification as I can. So, in fact, as I mentioned in the previous item, when we have the criteria for the acceptable list, we have a draft list, which is at step seven, because that was that moved quite quickly in the beginning, and then it was a little blocked because there were some substances on which all countries could agree at the time. And then there were this proposed draft list on which there were still some differences, some different views, different approaches according to the countries, some lack of scientific data, and
That was why the technical meeting from FAO and WHO worked on the criteria, not on the substances themselves. So we have in the criteria for critical review the question of scientific advice. It's true that it took some time to request it in a clear shape. That was also a problem perhaps at the committee. It was discussed at the committee. It was not always entirely clear. It went to the commission. And finally, there was agreement on the request to FAO and WHO, and we have the report of the technical meeting in 2006. It was discussed in the committee in 2007. The Committee on Fats and Oils meets every 2 years, and the country started to discuss on the criteria and the relationship with the draft list. You also have the comments from the chair. The first list is at step 7 because it's held, not sent for comments, because it will depend on what happens with the other list. In that case, there is a criterion mentioning 5 years after the committee receives the scientific advice. There may be also in the future need for more scientific advice, but it is not entirely clear. And on some of the substances, for example, there is not enough data. That was the situation. Perhaps our colleagues from FAO and WHO want to add something. That was to explain the situation. I will perhaps continue quickly with the other items. The next one, the amendment to name vegetable oils. In fact, it's mentioned here, but it's for discontinuation. There was a minor amendment proposed in the standard, but then the committee recognized that there was no need to amend the standard, so that will be considered a discontinuation. And then the last item is on olive oil. The revised standard was adopted by the Commission with the exception of the provision for linoleic acid, which was quite a controversial issue. Now it is still under discussion. This is the only parameter in the standard still under discussion. This is since 2003. It was discussed twice in the committee, then sent for comments. At the last session, there was a new version of the parameters, one for linoleic acid, other associated parameters. So this is still under discussion. It was sent back to step 3, and we have the comments from the chair from Malaysia, who had also made this same intervention and explained when we were in the committee that in case there can be no consensus at the next session of the committee, the committee would consider discontinuation because it has been discussed for quite a long time, and so far there has been no consensus, but there seems to be some movement, and the committee was held in 2009. The next session will be in 2011, so this is still for comment and for comments, and we will see how the discussion will go in the next committee, but the committee really recalled also the recommendation of the executive committee and see that perhaps then it would be necessary to discontinue work if it cannot progress. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Secretary. Are there any comments on these items? Clarification given by the Secretary. Member from North America, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And with your indulgence, in considering the criteria, it appears that with regard to the establishment of the list of acceptable cargoes, it would appear that given the scientific advice had been provided not quite 5 years ago, there's still a little bit of time for the committee to complete its work. But perhaps note could be made of the importance of Codex not perhaps putting itself in the situation where it becomes dependent on establishing lists, and perhaps could focus more on criteria that should be considered in establishing lists within a member government or within a national government context. We do find that quite often progress is stalled because it does become very complex to consider the establishment of actual lists of products as opposed to the criteria that could be used in looking at those lists. And perhaps this could be used as a way of accelerating some of the processes within Codex.
Thank you, member from North America. Member from Southwest Pacific, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just as we noted earlier on about the support among committees to advance standards on a more accelerated basis, so also, we believe that there is an opportunity for us to recognize efforts by committees to indicate and clearly state where there is lack of consensus to suspend or discontinue work. And I think that's a trend I think we should actively recognize and support, because this is part and parcel of the whole issue of how to advance consensus in committees, and part of the process might in fact require suspension or discontinuation from time to time. So we simply want to record that comment as a generic statement. While I have the floor, I would also just briefly like to mention, although we are not discussing substantive issues, in the context of this comments from just made by the member for North America about the linkage between the criteria and the development of a list, we do believe that the committees and codex system as a whole is not well placed to develop lists, particularly in areas where it doesn't have a direct ownership of the information, and that might have a bearing on the pace at which standards might be progressed. So I think that's an issue that we need to bear in mind when we consider some of the scope of some certain work. Thank you.
Thank you, member from Southwest Pacific. Are there any other flags? Yes. Member of Europe, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think that the members for North America and the Southwest Pacific raise an important generic point about when we set out with projects of work to consider what would be involved, particularly, for example, in having a positive list. And any list, in any case, would need to be kept up to date, which makes it very difficult in the codex context to handle. That said, this work is in place, and I think given the timing of the technical advice, it is perhaps for this committee to have a further discussion, but for the executive committee to monitor very closely what happens at the next meeting. On the issue of linolenic acid levels in olive oil, that does seem to be one issue where there is very difficult chances, prospects of agreement. And the remarks, I think, there by the Secretariat to recommend discontinuing work, if the committee is given this one last chance to look at the two alternative proposals, seems very sensible. So that committee, if this executive committee agrees, should be put on notice that it's in its last chance saloon. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, member from Europe. Member from Asia, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We also agree with the comments made by North America and Southwest Pacific, that sometimes it's better to have only criteria established rather than putting individual items in the list, especially when data is not available or owned by codex. However, in this case, I tend to agree with the member from Europe that since the FLW2 technical meeting was held only in 2006, just 3 years ago or less than, perhaps we may request swift progress by the CCFO with the scrutiny by the executive committee. In general, sometimes there are cases where codex committees found the lack of information or scientific data after starting the standardization work. So perhaps we should make sure before agreeing with the initiation of some work there is sufficient information to complete the work. And I think it is very important because in this document, some places, and also in the previous document, there are descriptions about the lack of information, lack of scientific advice, or lack of whatever. So before starting the work, it's better to make sure that the committee concerned has sufficient scientific or non-scientific information necessary for the development of standards or codes. And then at the end, concerning linoleic acid, I would also agree with the recommendation by the committee or the secretariat, I don't know which, that it should recommend discontinuation work if no agreement is reached at the next session. Thank you.
Thank you, committee member from Asia. I recommend to the members of this committee to keep those words she expressed about the sufficiency of information to establish a standard in mind when we come to our next agenda item, which will concern adoption of consideration of new work proposals. We'll take one more intervention. Member from Latin America and the Caribbean, please.
Gracias, señora. A pesar de estar de alguna manera involucrada con el tema del aceite de oliva, se trata de una cuestión de procedimiento simplemente, y que en alguna oportunidad en una reunión de el comité ejecutivo, creo que había sido Nueva Zelanda quien lo había planteado, y me parece que tanto para este tema como para otros que se puedan plantear, quizá también debería quedar reflejado en el acta, y que tiene que ver con todas aquellas variables o parámetros que pueden estar influenciados por condiciones agroecológicas que varían de región en región. En su momento el Comité Ejecutivo había dejado una reflexión al respecto en un acta previa y quizás se podría hacer alguna manifestación al respecto, porque de lo contrario es como que la recomendación del Comité Ejecutivo no está teniendo en cuenta algo que para establecer estándares sobre productos el Codex sí o sí debería observar, y es que en el mundo las características de los productos no son totalmente iguales. Entonces, me parece que el problema que se plantea para fijar el parámetro de ácido linolénico en el aceite de oliva está justamente relacionado con este tema, y es que el aceite de oliva no es ni va a ser igual en todas las regiones del mundo, porque las condiciones agroecológicas hacen que los parámetros varíen, de la misma forma que varían los colores de las naranjas, y pasa con todo. Y esto no puede quedar al margen de lo que son los criterios del Codex, porque de lo contrario regularíamos solamente para un grupo de países y no para el mundo entero. Gracias.
Thank you very much, member from Latin America and the Caribbean. I believe that this must be in the essence of the discussion for that particular standard. If I may, seeing no flags, I would suggest conclusion on these documents primarily to concern the list of acceptable cargoes that, if you can agree, that the executive committee would send the message to the Committee on Fats and Oils, that we encourage that committee to finalize its work on acceptable cargoes by 2011. Does this seem reasonable?
For the, Madam Chair, 2011, the next session of the committee will be held, so that would be the case. Yeah.
Question is whether it is reasonable to ask for finalization at that time.
It seems a little difficult on the list that it would move, perhaps. We cannot know, of course, at this stage. On the criteria, which are now step five, it might be the case. On the list, it will really depend on the discussion, but KCCC exec can make the recommendation, which would be conforming with the criteria, and then, as several members have said, we can monitor at that stage. Thank you.
Thank you. I take it may be difficult, but we might suggest encouragement to finalize decision on the list by 2011. And if the committee agrees, we might add a note that a member noted that list, actually more than one member of this body noted that list development as a general matter seems frequently to retard progress of standard development. Then with respect to the proposed draft amendment to the standard for olive oils and olive pomace oils, linoleic acid, that the executive committee's comment back to fats and oils would be that the executive committee endorses, indeed, the committee chair's own recommendation that work on this item should be discontinued if progress on it is not made at the next session in 2011. Can the committee agree with this? I see no flags and nodding heads. Thank you very much. Delegates, this brings us to the next set of standards and development for our consideration, which are the responsibility of the Codex Committee on Fish and Fishery Products. Secretariat, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As you can see, there are quite a number of items which are in various steps, starting from step six. The first one, standard for sturgeon caviar, there is some delay because it started in 2003. The main problem with the scope, it started to move in the three first years, and then there was some problem on the scope, which was solved at the one of the previous sessions. And then there was also various discussions, but now most of these issues are solved, and now it has to concentrate really on the additive section, because initially there was no additives, and then there were some proposals, but there was no time for the committee to really discuss them, so that was recirculated for comments. Now we'll have the comments. The committee will be held in September 2009, it's as written here. So this, we have good prospect of finalizing this standard at the next session. Regarding the two following parts concerning the code of practice, which was developed by sections, now there are a few sections which are not finalized. The section on lobsters and crabs was sent to step 8 at the last commission, and it was returned. There were different views on the use of chlorine. This is also in relation to the result of the expert consultation on the use of chlorine from a general point of view, which was carried out by FAO and WHO, and we'll have the result of this consultation for consideration at the next session of the Committee on Fish and Fishery Products. So it's also related to scientific advice, which was not mentioned here because it was a general consultation, but it's applicable to fish and fishery products. The second part of the code, the smoked fish, is at step 3, and this is related to the standard on smoked fish as well. There were delays on both standard and on the code of practice, on that part of the code of practice, because in fact to work on the code, the committee was expecting some more advanced stage of the standard, which had also some delays. On the following page, there are two items. One is the standard for quick frozen scallop meat and the code of practice. The standard was initiated in 2001. And then there were various difficulties on the moisture content, use of additives, these are now solved as indicated. But while discussing the standard, the committee agreed to develop a code of practice, which was initiated in 2005. So that's what we discuss sometimes, that we initiate some work and then we realize that there are some
unforeseen difficulties or we need some other text, and in that case the code of practice. So now most of the issues are solved, and it will be there are no major difficulties now, only it has to be discussed in more detail. As I mentioned earlier, Smokefish was initiated in 96. In fact, in the 2003 first session, the initial preparation of the draft could not be prepared in time, and there were some delays. There were also various discussions on the scope. Then the last session made very substantial progress, although it did not send it to step five because it's also related to the development of the code. But now the major problems on the scope or on some other sections are settled, and that should be progress. We expect good progress at the next session. Regarding the list of methods for biotoxins, this is part of the standard. The standard was adopted at the last session of the commission. Only this is really for technical reasons. There are no validated methods for all of the biotoxins which are considered in the standard, and this question is kept under review in the committee. So that perhaps may take some time, and each session may make some progress, but it's that's really for technical reasons. Regarding the other issues, they are in the initial steps of the procedures. They were initiated in 2007 and are now under discussion. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Secretary. Are there any comments from members of this committee on these new, several different items of fish and fishery products? I see no member from Europe, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think we can't skip on without some reference to the fact that there have been quite significant delays in processing this work. I think it's quite important that messages go out to committees, at least where we note concern about delays. Grateful for the remarks by the Codex Secretariat about the history, and that after some delays, progress is now seemingly being made. But I think perhaps if the committee is in agreement, there should be a reference to the committee noted with some dismay or was disappointed to see that progress had been slow on documents that commenced in 2001 and 1996, and would be looking carefully at future progress. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, member from Europe. Member from Southwest Pacific, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to endorse the comments just made by the member for Europe. Thank you.
Thank you, member from Southwest Pacific. I agree that it makes sense. It is our job to send some written encouragement, some strengthening of the backbone to this committee to get its work done on time. It is appears to be trying to do that work more quickly, but the evidence is that things are taking too long. The only question is whether to call out specific draft codes or merely send a general comment that the executive committee notes the slow progress of a number of draft codes, including the draft standard for quick frozen scallop adductor muscle meat, the draft standard on smoked fish, and where have I lost the other ones? The draft standard for sturgeon caviar, and that we would, if we would be watching closely, and if progress is not evident by the next meeting of this committee, that the executive committee would strongly consider taking or suggesting corrective action. That That wasn't a very elegant piece of prose that just issued from my mouth, but if anyone in this committee would like to try to refine it and read it back to us, I think I see general agreement that that's the message that, that seems fitting for this committee. A general urging, a reminder of the potential of corrective action, and goodwill, buck up, carry on, and speed it up. Member for Europe, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It is, of course, difficult to draft on the spot, but I think the sentiment is right. I think it would be difficult to say there have been slow progress on issues including and then listing the three. So I think it was noted that considerable there had been delays in progressing the three in question, and that the committee would be monitoring, looking very carefully at progress at the next meeting with a view to taking corrective action if necessary. Something along those lines. Thank you.
Thank you, Member from Europe. If necessary, we might add, should the Executive Committee see no progress. A member from Southwest Pacific, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In supporting the comments from the Member for Europe, what we had in mind was certainly, on the one hand, to address the Executive Committee comments to the specific problems or issues facing the Committee on Fish and Fishery Products. But we also felt that this is important to address at a generic level right across committees. So whether at this point or maybe as part of the summation of the discussion of the committee on the standards management aspects, maybe it would be useful for the Executive Committee to get a message across of what its expectations are in respect of the importance of progressing work on a timely basis. Thank you.
Member from Southwest Pacific, and I can also add to your observation and the observation of the member from Europe and others that as the Commission sees us carrying out this work, sees us making recommendations and tough, hard decisions, perhaps decisions that might be difficult for the membership of the Commission accept with comfort. Hard decisions are oftentimes not easy to deal with, but nonetheless they must be made on occasion. That for the membership to see that this Executive Committee is carrying out its function, that it takes to heart the Commission's commitment to progress documents in a timely manner, and that it will exercise corrective action in a fair and but consistent manner when it sees a lack of sufficient progress. I think that should be a tonic to the Commission and encouragement to work with alacrity. Thank you very much. Let's turn next to the documents from the Codex Committee on Food Hygiene. Secretariat, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On the food hygiene, as you can see from the items, they are all recently initiated work, 2007 and 2008, and similarly to other items in that committee, they are based on the recommendation from GEMRA, especially as regards Vibrio, where there were several risk assessments on Vibrio. We also have the comments from the chair of the committee. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Secretary. I would make one note on this report from the chair. I think there is a useful object lesson to be found in the comment from the chair. And it refers to an action by the Executive Committee of a couple of years ago, I believe it was, when there was a somewhat different makeup. There was, at that time, as we have matured as an executive committee. I'm sure the same thing would not happen today. But it happened then that at discussion of the new work for this work on Campylobacter and Salmonella species in chicken, that a member, ultimately supported by one or two other members, suggested without offering any data that the work, a technical matter, that the work of that committee needed to include additional work. It was a technical comment offered with no supporting data. It was accepted by the executive committee, endorsed by the commission, and the consequence of that has been that over 2 years, that committee has worked, spent probably in toto hundreds of person hours seeking for data to find none, to come back to make a recommendation to the commission. We understood really at the time, many of us, that this was not work that was possible. So that emphasizes our need to be careful, to stay within our boundaries, to be careful and be very careful when we make recommendations of a technical nature. Member for Latin America and the Caribbean, please.
Gracias, señora presidenta. Realmente que no podemos corregir lo escrito en un acta de un comité, pero sinceramente yo recuerdo a qué se trató en esa oportunidad y me parece que no se dijo que no, pues se trataba del ex presidente de la comisión. Entonces, sinceramente lo que me molesta es que en el report lo que se diga es que eran los países en desarrollo, porque la verdad que cuando se aceptó que se ampliara el ámbito de ese trabajo, la propuesta fue hecha por el expresidente de la comisión y por esa razón se la aceptó y nadie dijo nada. Los países en desarrollo, si bien él era de uno, no salimos corriendo para apoyarlo. Gracias.
Thank you, member from Latin America and the Caribbean. Perhaps too sweeping term, did not include Latin America and the Caribbean. Let's conclude that. Are there any other comments? Are there any comments? Yes, I see no members, but I will take a comment from FAO.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's only to inform the committee that in relation with the guidelines for control of Campylobacter and Salmonella, Yembra was able already to implement the expert meeting that was requested by the committee in early May. Thank you to the extra budgetary resources that we received from the Global Initiative Food Related Scientific Advice Facility, GIPSA. In addition to that, jointly with WHO, we are already started the program for the development of the web-based risk management decision support tool, thanks also to extra budgetary resources received by WHO from Japan. Then, advance on this work that was made in May will be presented to the next session of the working group on Salmonella and Campylobacter in September, and obviously to the next session of the Codex Commission. It's only to insist and highlight the importance of this GIPSA matter and also the good relationship that we have with a good planning in Codex results in a good planning and efficient implementation of the scientific advice.
Thank you, Representative from FAO. It is now, I think I see no flags. In addition, I think we can conclude discussion of food hygiene with really no need to suggest commentary back to that committee. And we should end our discussion now because we have reached the time for a lunch break. We will recess now at 12:30 and adjourn at 2:30. We will pick up where we have left off with consideration of ongoing work and our critical review with the CC Fix documents. Thank you very much. See you sharply at 2:30.